a perennial welfare state.
Tharindra Gunaratna charts a national path to self-sustenance. On 22nd May 1972, Ceylon officially became the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka in a colourful ceremony where, according to the New York Times, musicians blew conch shells, yellow-robed Buddhist monks chanted, and guns were fired in salute. The 70s were defined by the continuous tug of war between capitalism and socialism, from the Vietnam War to the Cold War. By including the term socialist in the official name of the country, it seems that Sri Lanka's leaders picked a side in this debate, despite all the rhetoric of believing in non-alignment. This is not surprising considering the abundance of left-wing politicians of that era, such as Dr. N.M. Pereira, Colvinar De Silva and Philip Gunawardena, all of whom were members of the Trotskyist Lanka Samasamaja Party, LSSP. Given that the world has changed drastically over the past 50 years, however, should we be proud of our status as a democratic socialist republic? To be fair, there are several examples of thriving welfare states. The most notable being the Nordic countries were three, Norway, Denmark and Iceland, of the five, were ranked in the top 10 in the Human Development Index published by the UNDP in 2015. All three countries have comprehensive social safety nets and remain committed to ideals such as free education and universal health care. However, there is a major difference between these three welfare states and Sri Lanka. Last year, both Norway and Iceland achieved budget surpluses, while Denmark ran a very small budget deficit of 0.6% of GDP. In contrast, Sri Lanka's budget deficit in 2017 was estimated at 4.8% of GDP. We cannot rely on debt-fueled growth forever. We are already in a debt trap that has culminated in Sri Lanka sharing the same sovereign credit rating as Rwanda and Uganda. It can be argued that the present regime is attempting to solve this problem, yet whilst a strategy is in place to cut the budget deficit to 3.5% of GDP by 2020, the inconvenient truth is that the fiscal deficit, which reflects the actual financial status of the government compared to the budget deficit, a forecast, in 2017 was 5.5% of GDP and not far from the 5.7% deficit in 2014. In terms of government expenditure, the major constraint imposed by debt servicing obligations is often discussed. However, another area of concern is Sri Lanka's bloated public sector, which expanded by almost 40% between 2006 and 2016 and employs 1 in 4 paid workers in the country today. This would be a perfectly acceptable scenario if not for the bureaucracy and inefficiency that has plagued many public sector institutions. For example, according to a report published by the Department of Census and Statistics in 2016, almost 2 in 5 public sector employees aren't computer literate. Government revenue as a share of GDP has risen over the past 3 years from 11.6% to 13.8%. Yet, we continue to remain below the world average of 15%. In terms of sources of revenue, we are overly reliant on indirect taxes such as VAT. Such taxes account for over 80% of Sri Lanka's tax revenue compared to 33% on average across OECD countries in 2014. This is important to note as indirect taxes, which are levied on expenditure rather than income, are regressive in nature. They impose a more severe burden on lower income segments of the citizenry. We need to accept that we are a small country that cannot remain a fiscally irresponsible and bloated welfare state forever. However, the bitter truth is that campaigning on fiscal responsibility is unlikely to win elections at the national level. So how can we chart a path from extravagance to moderation?
LMD, the voice of business and living, a celebration of life, offers you a chance to stay in the lap of luxury. Get a lifetime subscription to LMD All Living and we will reward you with an overnight stay with one of our partner hotels. Call Rohan on 2599600 for more details.